So we conclude our readings from this 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew today. And we have these three, perhaps the final one, is a fourth parable that Jesus teaches us today, bringing this series of seven different insights into the mystery of the kingdom. And the first two are all about the treasures. And so another photo from Spain there, one of the churches that we were privileged to be able to celebrate Mass in, just the beautiful Baroque treasures of the church. But the first of these is kind of curious. We're not given enough real detail about this, but we're just told that somehow this person manages, it seems quite accidentally, to stumble upon this treasure that's hidden, buried in a field. And what does he do? He goes off to sell everything that he has in order to buy this field. Now that leads us to the question of, well, is there this questionable morality that is underlying this decision? You know, shouldn't he have simply gone and told the person who owned the field at the moment, oh my goodness, there's all this treasure that's hidden there, you should know about this? We don't know the answer to these questions. You know, we're not given enough information to really know the morality, and so we're kind of stuck with this bizarreness of the scenario. And yet we're told that he goes off happy, in this sense that Jesus seems to be praising this man for this decision. So it's left saints and scholars pondering this over the centuries. Whereas when we come to the second scenario of this pearl of great price, it's much simpler. The merchant has spent the whole of his life looking for pearls. He's discerned them. He's been able to weigh them and measure them and to work out what makes a pearl to be this particularly fine example. And so it's not just an accidental fluke that he stumbles upon this. He's been searching for this the whole of his life. And then he finds the one. Then he finds this perfect pearl. And this example is able to captivate him and to capture his whole heart. Now, it's interesting that we're not told that he goes off happy when he finds this pearl of great price, but it seems to be enough. It reminds me of the story that is sometimes told about this Indian monk. And it just so happens that the monk finds buried there in the grounds of the monastery this diamond of unquestionable value. And it turns out, in fact, to be the largest and the most valuable diamond in the whole world. And so he just has it there sitting in his cell. And at the same time when he finds it, there's a merchant in the nearby village who has a dream. And in the dream, this merchant is told to go to the monastery and that he will there receive this untold gift. And so he goes to the monastery and meets this particular monk and says, you know, I received this vision, this dream that I was told that you would have something for me. And the monk said, oh, it's probably this diamond, and just hands over the diamond to the merchant, who's very happy and very excited to be given this huge uncut diamond, and goes off home. But for the next week, he's unable to sleep. He's just tossing and turning and trying to sort through this. And he goes back to the monastery and says, look, here, you can have the diamond back. I want the treasure that makes you so free that you're able just to hand over something that is so precious, so valuable to me. And that seems to be the thing that Jesus is wanting us to understand, that this prize, this treasure that he's offering to us is unquestionably valuable. It's this gift of life eternal. It's this gift of this wonderful relationship, this openness to God himself. And so we're invited into this treasure. And it's worth forsaking everything else to receive this gift. It's worth possessing alone and above all, because it is nothing less than to be in relationship with our God and to be captivated by that love, to be caught up in that experience of such tenderness and such truth. Because so often we get distracted. We think it's all just about this hard work and this hard slog and just going through the motions and doing all of this stuff in order to, we're not really even quite sure what is at the end of the goal. And yet God is simply making this offer to us, this truth, this untold offer that is available to us. And we can get caught up in these little things and all of the work and all of the hassle and all of the struggle, when in fact it's just this treasure that's available to us, that we are free to receive this love that is available to us. And then he tells the parable of the net. And this one has a different edge. This one has a different feel to it entirely. This sense of the dragnet. And we know that the dragnets of the day were quite large. They were a couple of meters deep and up to 100 meters wide. And so several boats would be used to drag these nets along. And it seems to evoke this sense of just abundance. The net drags in, the net brings in all kinds of fish, you know, good and bad. Everything is caught up in this net. And so it's this image of the inclusivity of salvation, that salvation is available to everyone. Everyone is able to receive this invitation, this call into life with the treasure. But it does invite us to change, to be converted, to receive this gift and to respond to this gift by lives of fruitfulness, lives of service, lives that allow this gift and this grace to be of use within the world. He then finishes by telling us this image of the wise scribe who becomes a disciple and then brings out of the storeroom, brings out of the treasure, things both new and old. Now within the ancient world, as in for most parts of history and really until the mid-20th century, old things were always more valuable. Old things were always considered to be the best. You know, the sense of the wisdom and the sense of the fact that something is continued. And so treasures and works of art and all things that were old were always valued much more highly than these new fangled things. That we've changed that. Of course, now bright and shiny new gadgets are the way. If anything's, you know, a few years old, then it's old and it's useless. But within the wisdom of the ancient world, the old was always the wonders of what was there. And within Judaism especially, it was the wisdom of the law and the gift of the prophets and all of those who have faithfully fulfilled that over the centuries. And yet Jesus is inviting us to also appreciate the new, this new edge, this new gift, this new power that is available in the kingdom of God, that is able to slowly change and transform all of this. Because all of this is about this sense that this is the kingdom that is offered to us, this kingdom that is available here and now. And it is unquestionably valuable, this beautiful gift that is available to us. And it's worth any cost it might involve in our lives. It's worth setting aside anything else in order to pursue this treasure, this pearl, this gift that is just unbelievably good and wonderful for us. But sometimes it will involve laying aside all kinds of other things that we'll get in the road, all those other stuff that's there in our lives, and to let them find their place in God, to let God's healing, to let God's mercy restore all those things so that we can give ourselves completely to God, to find that freedom, to find that life in Him.